Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the historic sounds of radio's bygone days. The golden age of radio rides again.
Well, howdy doody, gang. Yeah, thank you, Community Advisory Board. More about that some other time. This is the Golden Age of Radio. We're here live this week. Already, we've had a number of pledges, and we're already at about, with an hour, more than an hour to go on tonight's show. We've already made about half of what we made last week. So I'm just going to assume that last week's horrible showing was due to the holiday weekend, and let it go at that. Now, we've had a pledge for our 3-DVD set, Golden Age of Radio, episodes 1 to 220, it's called. It's actually episodes 1 to 231, because I continued to expand it until we ran out of room on the 3 DVDs. So you actually get the first 231 two-hour programs that we do for our alternate outlet. It's a different show, and it's been taking place Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. on yesterdayusa.com since February of 2007. We're up to episode, I think yesterday was 270. So, okay, we almost are ready to put another volume together of that, maybe for the next drive. I'll have to see if that fills a disc yet. But right now, you can get the first three volumes, programs of one through 231. I was surprised, actually, that I had every program that I had recorded stored on computer drives, because our record of this program on WBAI is much less complete, especially in the early years. You know, I used to do the show on tape. The show used to be recorded on reel-to-reel tape, and I had cases of the programs, largely not transferred to digital yet, or maybe ever. Ah, well, someday. At least we save most of the interviews and special programs. Most of those are available, by the way, included as they were rebroadcast on the Yesterday USA show. So if you want a good history of the Golden Age of Radio here on WBAI, the highlights of the program, all the specials and interviews, are included in the various broadcasts on from Yesterday USA. For a $125 pledge, you know, how far wrong can you go? 231 programs. What does that come to? 50 cents per show or something? Ridiculously cheap. And it supports WBAI, helps us pay our expenses, which are many. And our subscribers, sadly, are few. But we thank LaShondra Paul. She's getting a copy of the 3-DVD set. Also pledging in this hour, Kurt. Does Kurt want to be thanked? Yes, Kurt Yount of La Habra, California. My goodness, must be an internet pledge. And he's getting his Ultimate Horror Library, which is officially titled Golden Age Ultimate Horror Collection, 2-DVD set. So as for that, it's $80 pledge. And basically, it's every horror program I could find from a number of compilations and individual MP3 clusters, and I compiled them all into a 2-DVD set, jam-packed. There's not an ounce to spare anywhere on those 2 DVDs. They're jam-full of every old-time radio horror program that seems to survive. And you know, everything from the well-known, the Inner Sanctums, and the Quiet Please, and the Hermit's Cave, Witch's Tale, to some very obscure series. There's a complete Frankenstein serial. Is it 13 or 26 chapters? There's a nearly complete Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That one, I think, is missing 2 chapters, but I think it's a 64-episode series. So all kinds of great stuff on the Ultimate Horror Library for an $80 pledge. Oh, now you probably want to know how you can get your hands on these items. Well, there's a number to call, a call center. That number is 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. 720-620-3602. And you just tell them you would like to support the Golden Age of Radio. You want to become a member of WBAI so that we can continue our work. And you make a pledge. And if you're trying to get a premium, you know, make sure that that's clear to them. Insist. Ask for it by name. Make sure they find the right thing, because they're looking online just like you would be. You can also give online, by the way, at give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org. That's a website. The premiums are mostly listed in the miscellaneous section all the way over on the right-hand column. Across the top, you know, there's a number of ways to pledge. You can give to your favorite show. You can give to the building fund. You can give to the transmitter fund. You can get premiums. And that's all across the strip, across the top. And our premiums are mostly in the miscellaneous section. Speaking of our premiums, we have a Gene Shepherd package. Because Gene Shepherd is a major part these days of the Golden Age of Radio. We're going to be listening to Mr. Shepherd very shortly. Oh, gee, and we better get to it real quick, because it is a full 45-minute program. And it's a lost show. It has never been broadcast by me before. It does not turn up in the records anywhere. So we're going to hear a show that, you know, I'll be sharing it with you guys for the first time here. You can't download it anywhere. You can't find it anywhere. You can't buy it from rip-off dealers anywhere. But you can hear it here on WBAI. And if you would like to hear from my master tapes provided to me by a wonderful Mr. Rudy of Queens, who used to tape Shepherd in the back of his photography store, and he did this from 1963 through about 1967, and he made available to me all of his tapes, and we are taking from his master tapes. That's where these come from. I'm not downloading this stuff. These Gene Shepherd programs are the finest quality, and they're at 128K music quality mono files. So that's why, you know, I could put hundreds of shows on a single disc, but I'm not going to ruin the sound quality. You know, getting them like they're straight off the air checks that Rudy made back when the shows were broadcast. For Gene Shepherd, this time out, we have Gene Shepherd 1966 Volumes 3 and 4. For a $65 pledge, you get 33 complete 45-minute programs from the period spanning middle of March 1966 through middle of May. That was everything that would fit on these two discs, and more releases will be coming probably as soon as the next fund drive, so don't miss out. If you want to stay complete with your Gene Shepherd collection from the master tapes, from the original sources, Gene Shepherd, 1966, Volumes 3 and 4, a measly $65 pledge gets you those two discs. 516-620-3602. Call 516-620-3602. Or pledge online at give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org. Now, let's see. We have a few more people to thank. And one of them is Edward of Staten Island, Edward Beckenstein, as a matter of fact. And he's getting the Ultimate Horror Collection. Very good. Thank you, Edward. And finally, who else pledged? Benjamin from Manhattan. Yes, please thank me by name. Benjamin Hill, This Is Your Life from the Bronx. And what's he getting? He's getting the Ultimate Horror Collection. All right. Where's the Gene Shepherd fans? Well, they'll be pouring out now, and I know some of you people who are strict old-time radio connoisseurs, you know, some of you don't like Mr. Shepherd. I don't know why, but many more of you do appreciate Shepherd, and the show tonight, as I mentioned earlier, is a transitional type of program. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by that? Well, you know, Shepherd started out on WOR in 1956. At the time, he was doing overnights. Later on, in 1959, 1960, he was doing weekend. Well, he had a strange schedule. Saturdays, I think, 11 to 1 in the morning. And then Sunday nights from 10 to 2, or I forget exactly. Go refer to your 1959 Rare Lost Program premium from last time. But At some point in 1960, I believe, he was given a daily 45-minute program at 11 p.m. And this is one of those very early programs from that period. All I have for a date is that it's from 1961, and he mentions that it's June, and he mentions that it's Friday. So those are the clues. It could be one of four different dates from June 1961. And my notes, which are sparse, and none of this stuff comes up until like the last 15 minutes. Electric roses, Lake Michigan weather, and steel mill tornado. Well, that's all in the second half of the show. The first half is just kind of freewheeling, Shepherd philosophizing on affairs of the day. We're going to hear about some demonstrations in this country and the potato riot in France. So why don't we get to it right? It's 8:01. This is WBAI New York. Gee, cutting it rather close when we have to do pitching as well. But if you enjoy this, you will no doubt want to get your hands on Gene Shepherd 1966, Volumes 3 and 4. From 5 years after this program. And don't forget, we also have, I might as well mention it, for a $35 pledge, you become a member of the station and you can get the Frontier Gentleman disc, the complete series of the Frontier Gentleman that we've been listening to for well over a year now, even though the show ran we've been running it for close to 2 years, it seems, off and on. At any rate, there are all 42 episodes, you get them all, one of them is an audition. And because there was room left over, we added another entire series called Frontier Gentlemen, or Fort Laramie. Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr, another adult western from CBS. All yours for a $35 pledge to WBAI. So there are lots of ways to do it. The number to call, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. We're probably going to take a break in the middle of Shepherd so I can thank more people. And try to round up a few stray pledges. So far, well, hopefully they're just overwhelmed at the call center because we haven't done it. Well, there's a fresh one. Let's go to Doug. Oh, Doug, of course. My pal Doug. Back when we had phone rooms, Doug Douglas would come in and answer your calls. But now, I imagine we'll get back to that sometime next year once we move to our new location, should that ever come to pass. Thank you, Doug. And now, without further ado, we're going to listen to Gene Shepherd, this lost program from 1961, sometime in June, on a Friday. Here he comes. The opening's a little bit rough, as you will hear, but we're going to play it all the way through, nonetheless. Take it, Gene.
Said to me by a wise man that after 11 o'clock radio comes to life. Because it is after 11 o'clock that the ancient, infinitely weary soul of man begins to move in the direction of its ancient homelands. Yes, yes. Man wants to return to his home when he is about to die. And there is nothing in this existence that we know that is closer to dying than sleep. And just before sleep, you wish to return to your ancient homelands to coddle yourself in the pillow of forgetfulness. And so it is with radio. You come once again back to the elephant graveyard. You return. You return to the Stygian swampland of the imagination. Yes. You have seen Priscilla Lane on the old movie hour. You have seen and watched all the various cowboys gun each other down on the streets of ancient Dodge City. You've seen all this, and now you've come home again. Good to see you. Yes, but don't expect to be greeted here as if you'd never gone away. No, you'll be out of practice. Your imagination is almost gone, old man. In fact, what was it that Fred Allen said about television? He said, they've taken imagination, now at last, away from the poor common man. He will wander forever chewing his mental cud. And there will be an endless succession of Lucille Balls to provide a new one for him when the old one wears out. Quietly, quietly lulling him into the ancient sleep. How are you, Dad? As I said, it's not going to be easy, you know. But I'll tell you this. And it's Friday night, and there is just the gentlest of June rains falling. A beautiful thing. And then I feel about this. And I feel about us and all the things that we live in. I feel that we make contact with the world a million ways, and one of the ways we make contact with this world is through just such a simple and yet highly complex thing as weather. So what are you afraid of? I know New Yorkers are very afraid of the rain, but it's all right. It's friendly. This is a friendly rain. And it's the mind of man that I have, I suppose, final and perhaps even misplaced trust in. You are going to hear an affirmative note. So all the hippies and all the demonstrators of whatever stripe, please leave for the next 30 seconds. This is liable to be upsetting to you. But I have a strong feeling that has yet to be completely eradicated by events, a strong feeling that roughly says this, that no matter how we legislate against our imagination, no matter how hard we work to cover it over with chocolate icing, no matter how hard we try to set minefields for our own happiness, thereby to explode the enemy, whatever the enemy is, no matter what we do, it's always going to be there, sneaking. Oh, I don't think you can actually kill it. And I think that if you do try to kill it, it will only spring up again even more virulent and sneaky. Now, you know, you often get the feeling that probably the end of communal man can be found in most of the so-called socialized states today. This is what they're all based on, you know. They're based on all for all and one for all, everyone for everyone else, and all marching forward together into the sunshine or into the darkness or into the skyline or into the MGM finish, who knows what. But everyone is supposed to be all doing it together, you see. Well, that sounds great on paper, except that in actuality, we are all what we are. And, of course, the illusion is that if the state makes it, I will make it. This has been one of the great mousetraps of all history. But nevertheless, a very interesting little thing came out that kind of gives you one more little hope. And I'm not standing forth for selfishness. I'm standing forth for something else again. By the way, selfishness often masquerades as individualism. Be careful. They are not the same thing. Some of the great humanitarians have been individualists. As a matter of fact, all the truly great humanitarians have been individualists. But it is easy today. You know, we're developing a new technique, and the technique is a virulent one, and that is of being able to turn black into white, white into black, and just move them back and forth and shift them all around so that no one knows one thing from the other and one shade of meaning from the other. It's as though all words mean the same thing. Love means the same thing now, doesn't it? You say the word love, and oh boy, there's a loaded one. And yet this is constantly used in this great game of the generalities. the vast sweeping generalization. Well, I once was behind the Iron Curtain in a communist country, and it was an interesting experience. The one thing that the experience taught me was that no matter how hard you try, that you are still an island. No matter how alike you build all the houses, no matter how alike all the radio shows seem to sound, no matter how alike all the suits seem to be, that down inside, way down, somewhere near the spleen somewhere, there is that little sneaky thing, the I, the ego, the individual, that little one thing. And often many people feel so terrible about their ego, their individual I. And again, it has nothing to do with selfishness. This is something altogether different. And is, if you wish to be classical about it, is Freudian in context. It nevertheless leaps up and will continue to leap up no matter how much legislation is perpetrated against it. For example, this little note that came out of Budapest. Now, this is a communist country, you know, where all the people are marching happily into the sunshine together, arm in arm, singing folk songs. And I love this marching arm. One of the most fascinating things, of course, if you go back carefully over your Voltairean literature, you'll find that this is not a new thing in man's experience. This ability to hold up a big sign that says peace, and all the while you have 7.45 caliber automatics strapped to your waist, and therefore the express purpose of not only creating peace, maintaining peace. And at all costs, peace will be here if I had to kill everybody to do it. This is not a new trick. It's been around a long time. And yet a lot of people are constantly taken in by it, and that's why it's always with us. Because we never seem to be able to put the word together with the deed. This is a very difficult thing to do. And I feel that most people spend a good part of their time, 90% maybe of their time, living about 7 months back. And the other 10%, they live figuring how it's going to be next Wednesday. Well, all the while, of course, the value judgments that they place on the things that are going on today are based on the past or the future, hardly ever on the moment. And I think that most of the people that are carrying the big signs for Castro today still think he's in the hills. They still think he's in the hills, and they still think he's sitting there eating K-rations, getting ready to come out and do good for the world. Well, there's an old axiom among people who know people best. Yes, they're made like people should be made. They taste like people should taste. Yeah, there's an axiom among people who know people best, and they say that once the revolutionary gets over the wall and cleans out the rascals in the palace, get rid of them. Get rid of them. Because that's another story, you see. And, of course, it is easy to live in the past. In fact, it's one of the most virulent of all diseases. And it's also easy to live in the land of dreams, where it is quite true that if you stand up, in the dream, of course, if you stand up, pull your gut in, make a big noise, it'll all go away. All of it. One of the easiest of all ways to dream is to dream and believe that the onrushing communist world is a figment of our imagination and is probably a Machiavellian devilish plot by the opposite party to stay in power. This is an intrigue. And also, it's a sneaky way to raise your taxes. That's another interesting way to live in your own little wonderful world of leaky rowboats and rusty bailing cans and paddles that were lost 2 years ago, quietly swimming up long creeks that have interesting names. Well, this is all part... You know, I'll tell you one little thing that came through the other day that I thought was a beautiful, I think in a sense, a little ray of light that shows that no matter what you do with the laws, no matter how hard you work, there is always that one thing. This came out of Budapest. The Hungarian Communist Party newspaper said today that Károly Váradi mailed 100,000 notices to state companies and farms asking $1.15 for a non-existent magazine called Taxation Dues and Postal Tariffs. The newspaper said 95% of the recipients fell for the scheme. With the proceeds, Váradi then built a villa outside Budapest and furnished it with Persian carpets, valuable china, gold, and silverware. He is now awaiting trial. Now, there you go. See what I mean? Come Down inside there, down by that spleen. You see it there? Yes, voices, millions of voices. Hello? Hello? Yes. The one voice says to you, I love all mankind. And the other voice says, oh, get out of it, will you, Dad? You don't love anybody. You even hate yourself. You know it. And then there's that one little voice that comes along and says, why don't we just whistle, huh? Yes, sir. That's my baby. No, sir. Don't mean maybe. Yes. I think we all ought to get a collection. Send a note of thanks or a plaque or a demonstrator sign on behalf of love and peace to Carolee Verratti. Yes. I noticed, Mr. Verratti, that you sent it to state companies and state farms, and they fell for it. Well, I'm with you, Dad. Now, don't you listen to my voice, and I won't listen to your roars. I won't listen to yours at all. I'll ignore it. I'll pretend that you don't have it, see? I'll pretend that we're all sweet and loving people, all of us, and that we're not carnivorous, actually. I know of a cat people who spent over 45 years working on a formula to somehow convince cats that they should become vegetarians, feeling that this was good for the cat's soul, and at long last succeeded. The trouble is, three cats went blind within 6 weeks on the new formula. But that's all right. They were healthy when they went blind. And it's better for them. They're going to cat heaven. So come on now. We have a lot of problems along that line. We often confuse a clean colon with a clean soul. Of course, this is the blackstrap molasses wheat germ vitamin E crow. And then on the other hand, there are those who somehow confuse wide, badly made ties and shirts with slightly long collars with a kind of innate slobism, which could be possibly true. Now, stand by. This is just my voice now. I don't want you bothering me. I don't want you... Oh, come on now. Stop it. Stop it. Back home again. In Indiana, where the fields of new mown hay, la da 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 da. Speaking of sinister voices that lie just below the spleen in mankind, this is WOR, AM and FM.
Oh, please, it's WBAI in New York.
Yes, do you know where you are now? Really, do you know where you are? You are where 1,500 years from now, historians are going to be writing long, learned treatises about. There are going to be wondrous treatises. They are going to be amused.
They are going to be
amused.
They are going to be fascinated.
They are going to be fascinated.
And almost to a man, they are going to say,
I would have loved to have been alive at that time. I would have loved to have been there. And here you are. Here you are, really. If you look up, you'll see those hanging gardens. See them? I left the studio last night. I walk. I get over there in Times Square, and I'm not more than 5 or 10 minutes from the front door here. And I arrive, I'm just cruising, you know. I arrive in front of the Metropole. I'm in the old Metropole there, see? And the band is playing. Oh, they're knocking it out. I can hear them yelling and hollering in there. They are kicking it open. I can hear those buckets flapping over sideways. And out in front of the old Metropole, there is a guy. Just a guy. A tall, skinny guy wearing a Panama hat. The first Panama hat I ever saw that had ear flaps on it. He's got a Panama hat there, pulled down over his ears. And he is... Oh, is he bagged. Oh, is he bagged. He has bags hanging all over him. And he is weaving around on the sidewalk out there with his eyes closed. And that music is roaring around out there. 1:30, 2:30, 3:30 in the morning, and he's hollering, oh, that's music! And he was inscribing counterclockwise figure eights on the sidewalk around the pedestrians, some of whom were wearing party dresses and rented tuxedos. Oh, that's music! Oh, you like the music! And I continued right on down the street. I could hear that music fading off behind me, and I could see that figure outlined against those lights of Times Square, reeling back and forth with his hand held aloft, a finger pointed toward that dark, Stygian sky. Ah! 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 Ah!
it's music. Hey, all right. And he would raise his left foot and kick it out, and then he would bang it down. Then he would raise his right foot and kick it out. He was obviously hearing a drum all of his own. He wasn't going along there with Sol Yagut at all. Ah, it's music. And I could tell he was hearing some ancient, ancient melody. Some melody that none of us could hear at this moment. And he was inscribing that figure eight, counterclockwise. And that's the hardest kind of figure eight to inscribe, with a full load on. Oh, that's music. Oh, Daddy, that's music. Oh, that's music. I continued on. I move about 20 or 30 or 40 yards on down, and I turn right. I'm just cruising. I move on towards 6th Avenue. And there I see this chick wearing black Toreador pants, just standing there. She's about 17 years old. She's waiting for a bus. She's looking uptown and downtown. She's looking down towards where them buses come from that long crawling reach of the Battery on 6th Avenue. She's looking. The only trouble is, she's waiting on the wrong side of the street. She was not waiting for no bus that I'd ever seen. And there were two Canadian sailors standing there waiting. They were just waiting and trying to muster up the courage. One of them said, "That is music, ma'am." And they were inscribing their own figure eight. I arrived right there in front of the Howard Johnson, which had just closed up on 6th Avenue. But that great big old sign was a glimmering there, the one that says 28 flavors. I fall in behind two cats, and one cat says to the other, "I bet they don't have 28 flavors there." I actually heard this conversation. I will repeat it to you verbatim. At 2 o'clock a.m., "I bet they don't have 28 flavors there." "How do you know they don't have? How could they advertise that if they didn't have 28 flavors? I bet they can't do it if they can't advertise like that if they don't have it." What do you mean? "I bet they tell you they're out of it if you ask them for all 28 at once. They tell you they just run out. They could always use that excuse." "Yeah. Well, I don't bet it. They couldn't have it on a sign out here on 6th Avenue if it weren't true." "I don't believe it." There was a silence, and then suddenly one said to the other, "You see that place over there? I go play pool there on Wednesdays, up there above the Chinese restaurant." "Oh." And I moved on past. I get in front of the Time Life building, and the wind is howling through those stainless steel flagpoles, banging those ropes, those halyards, those flag ropes up against that pole with a tattoo like you never heard. It's banging away there, rattling out. Oh, that's music. And off there in the distance, I could hear that crowd over in the Metropole. Oh! And I could hear that guy still hollering and still shouting out, "That's my music, man. That's my music. I can hear it. Oh! Come on, let's go! It's my music!" And then I get in front of the Time Life building. You're going to have to hear this now. There was a workman standing out there in front of the building wearing hip boots. Right up to his hips. Big hip boots, you know. And he's squirting the sidewalk with a plastic hose, one of those green Suburban plastic hoses that you can see through. I bet more than one kid over in Riverside, New Jersey, has tried to eat one of those plastic hoses, because you can get them light pink, you know, and they look awfully edible. Well, anyway, he's out there in front of the Time Life building, which is an edible building. And he's squirting that sidewalk, and suddenly around the corner, right where I'm standing, about 47 people arrive from the Tower Club, which is a very official club up there in the way up there, you know. Oh, it's a very official club. And they're all wearing these tuxedos. They've all got that silver hair of the Tower Club type. And one of them is carrying an old-fashioned glass. Oh, and he's rattling those ice cubes. "Hey, man, hey, give me that hose there." And the scotch is flying out on the sidewalk. With that, he begins to squirt the hose right into the glass. "Come here, let's go. Ho!" And the next thing I know, this whole crowd of men, these official types, are squirting one another with a hose and throwing ice cubes at one another at 2:30 in the morning. And I can hear that music. Oh, they are going to be writing long, learned treatises about you, about me, about those ice cubes, about those Canadian sailors, about that guy out there standing in the high wind with his hand pointed to the heavens, hollering, "Oh, that's my music." With his eyes closed and that Panama hat with the ear flaps pulled down over those two great big old fat cabbages. They're going to be writing long papers. Come on, let's go. You want to be a footnote on it, don't you? Ba 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 ba. All together now.
You know, it is a fact. How can you really take it seriously? Do you honestly believe that all of the brouhaha and all of the hoopla and all the shoving and the pushing and all the arguing and arm-waving and all the flag-raising and lowering... By the way, it's intriguing to hear that one of our outstanding senators invented a device of a self-raising and self-lowering flag. It operates on a series of... It reduces to absurdity. I mean, seriously, if Voltaire ever tried to do something about this, I know that he could do nothing but foul tip. You just can't catch hold of the ball, you know. The trouble is, trying to work in satire these days, is that they're using pillows for balls, you know, that comes whistling down at you, and you got a rubber bat. And the trouble is that every time the ball gets within 30 or 40 inches of the home plate, when you just get into the swinging area there, they turn the lights out. And the next thing you know, they're throwing nothing but sliders at you anyway. And they're throwing them out towards second base. So what are you going to do? Well, when I heard about this senator that has invented a flagpole that raises the flag and lowers the flag automatically with a set of electric eyes, I realized that patriotism had come full swing. And as a matter of fact, I'm fully convinced now that I'm sure that one of the big companies like NCR or IBM or ABC or UBD or LBF or MFD or one of the big outfits is obviously working on a machine, a patriotic machine, that will take care of all that aspect that most of us are embarrassed. I mean, you know, it's very embarrassing to try to be patriotic these days, to really actually be pleased that you're an American. Whereas in actuality, you should be, you know. But nevertheless, you know, I'm making a prediction here. I'm going to make a prediction because it's quite obvious that we're in trouble. I mean, in the world. There's no question about it. Did you read Rustin's column last night? It was a fascinating column, this morning's thing. Actually, it was last night I read it, but it was this morning's column about the Vienna conference. Well,
speaking of being in trouble... We have a good 18 minutes left of this Gene Shepherd program, but we have to raise a little money before we can actually get to the remainder of this show. Now, this may be the last time I pitch during this program. Let's ask for your support to keep the Golden Age of Radio on the air and to keep WBAI alive. Now, we haven't had a pledge since the top of the hour. That's a half hour ago. And we're falling short. I fully expected we would raise more money this week than we did last week, being a miserable holiday weekend. But it's just not happening, and so I must interrupt this program. We will hear it through the conclusion. But I need to get a few of you to go to the phones now and support WBAI. The number to call is 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. We have four premiums that we're offering with your calls of support. And if you've been listening for any length of time, you know what those premiums are. But let me tell you one more time. Our weekly series, The Frontier Gentleman, well, we have compiled all 42 episodes of the series, included on the same disc, another complete series called Fort Laramie with Raymond Burr, two adult western series from the CBS network, late 1950s, for a $35 pledge. That's all. The basic membership rate is only $25 to become a member for a full year to the Pacifica Foundation and to this radio station, WBAI New York. It entitles you to vote in the fall local station board elections, which may be critical to the longevity and survival of the radio station. Or maybe not. Who knows? Maybe it's only making it worse. Nonetheless, you will be entitled to vote for your membership. And for $10 more than the membership, we are offering you the Frontier Gentleman / Fort Laramie single disc. Now, if you're enjoying Gene Shepherd that you've been listening to for the last half hour or so, we have for you 33 complete programs, 45-minute shows, from mid-March to mid-May 1966. It's Gene Shepherd, 1966, Volumes 3 and 4, $65 pledge. Get you those programs. Let's see. Oh, sadly, I don't have a list of them on the discs. Some wonderful programs included in that. And they're all recorded from FM radio at the time of broadcast. And these are taken from the original tapes. I want to point out from the original air check tapes made by Rudy in Queens and processed by me and presented at full 128K music compression rates. So in other words, we're not squeezing the life out of them. We're not inducing all kinds of strange, awful sounds that are so common in MP3s. No, this is professional quality stuff that we offer you from the vast Schmiedco empire. Gene Shepherd in 1966, Volumes 3 and 4. Covering March 18th through May 13th, 1966. For a $65 pledge, 516-620-3602. And once again, 516-620-3602. You can also give online at give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org to make your pledge that way. And if you pledge online, you can actually pay via PayPal if that's your desire. We urge you to use plastic, debit card, or credit card, or however you pledge, or PayPal. We can also bill you if for some reason you don't want to take advantage of modern banking systems. Now, let's see. There's one pledge to thank since the last time we thanked anyone. Excuse me. Can't kick this cold that I've had for the last 2 weeks. Made only worse by the ridiculous hot weather the last couple of days and living in an attic apartment under a black tar roof. Oh, it's brutal. Brutal! Okay. So, let's see. Who made this pledge? Someone is getting the Golden Age of Radio 1 to 220. That's 231 programs are included there. Complete two-hour programs of the broadcast that we do on yesterdayusa.com, Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. And let's see, Robert. Does Robert want to be thanked? Yes, Robert Weiss wants to be thanked, and so he is. We're waiting to thank you, but we need to hear from you. I was really thinking and hoping that we would do better this week than last week, but we're not really doing that much better. And, you know, this is, unfortunately, throughout the broadcast day, WBAI continues to dwindle down. Why? Because we ask for money way too much, and we know it. On the other hand, this is the only source of money, asking our listeners to support the radio that you listen to. And while so many of your names are recognizable to me, people who pledge seemingly every month or every fund drive, there are so many more of you who listen and never pledge. One out of 10 people will bother to support what they listen to regularly. You know, if we could make that 2 out of 10, the crisis would be over, the fund drive would be over. What do I need to say to reach some of you people who have yet to call in? 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. So for $125, we have the 220-plus episodes of the Golden Age of Radio. And the Ultimate Horror Library, the Golden Age Ultimate Horror Library, available for a pledge of a mere $80. That's two DVDs jam-packed full of horror radio programs. And that is, this is the last night we're going to offer this. It may stay online for a little bit longer, but, you know, I've said for the last two drives that we're not offering it again. Well, this is your last chance to get it, so that it will be mailed to you and in your hands by Halloween. And I guarantee you, if you pledge for it tonight, it will be excuse me. No, it will be in your hands by Halloween. Oh, I may faint, but nonetheless, I need to encourage you, more of you, to call to 516-620-3602. Whether or not you want a premium, you can just give money in the name of your favorite program, which in this case I would assume and hope is the Golden Age of Radio. And I'm your host, Max Schmid. And let's see, okay, another pledge comes trickling in. It would be good to at least break $1,000 tonight. You know, I'm used to making a couple of thousand in an evening. And there's no reason we still couldn't be doing that. But it's going to take more than me on this end of the microphone. It's going to take you finally deciding to do what you ought to do, support what you listen to. All right. Okay. Well. All right. Oh, this internet pledging system. Well, Tracy, does Tracy want to be thanked? No, Tracy didn't say whether Tracy would want to be thanked, but he put in comments, I would like Frontier Gentleman Fort Laramie as my premium, but did not pledge under the Fort Laramie premium. So, I guess we can straighten this out, Tracy. If you go to the website, as I'm assuming Tracy did, you have to look across the top of the page at give2wbai.org. That's give number two! Pardon me, wbai.org. And look across the top where the premiums are listed, and you have to go to the miscellaneous section to find, or just type in Frontier. I bet it's the only thing that will pop up if you will type in the search box Frontier. And that way you can, pledge for the premium. And if you want to give additional money, you can do that too. Or you can just call one of our friendly operators at 516-620-3602. In order to make that happen. Now, let's see. I've forgotten how much time we have left in order to squeeze in the rest of the Shepherd episode. I don't want to leave you hanging and not play the end of it. On the other hand, you know, a few of you ought to start coming through with some cash here. We got to keep this radio station on the air. And the only way to do that is for you people, you listeners, to support the radio station. Simple as that. If you don't support it, we won't be here. That almost happened in March. And for all I know, that could be almost happening right now. Lord knows, this fundraiser, like the last two or three here at WBAI, have been spectacularly unsuccessful. And fallen to about half of our goals. And very likely leading to some sort of cataclysmic change in the way this radio station operates, whether it's massive layoffs, whether they shut the signal off entirely and pipe in programming from the West Coast. It will still be WBAI, but it won't be the WBAI any of us know. Could they sell the license? I suppose they could. Could they swap the frequency? Well, there isn't a whole lot available to swap, but, you know, it is a valuable part of the radio dial here at 99.5 FM. And Lord knows, the way these fund drives go, something's got to happen. So, if we can't raise money from listeners, and the rest of the network can't afford to support us anymore and take up our slack, well, changes will be in the wind. Changes are afoot. If you want to maintain WBAI the way you love it now, I suggest you make a pledge at 516-620-3602. One more time. For $35, Frontier Gentlemen and Fort Laramie on a single disc for a $35 pledge. For a $65 pledge, you get 33 episodes of Gene Shepherd from 1966. It's Gene Shepherd, 1966, Volumes 3 and 4 for a $65 pledge. For an $80 pledge, you get two DVDs crammed, jam-packed with old-time radio horror programs. It's the Golden Age Ultimate Horror Library, an $80 pledge. Makes it yours. And for a $125 pledge, and incredibly reasonable, less than 50 cents a show, I think, you get 231 two-hour episodes of the Golden Age of Radio, produced for an internet station called YesterdayUSA.com. That show is still heard Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock. We like the feature serials on there. If you're a fan of Carlton E. Morse, if you're a fan of Chandu the Magician, if you're a fan of, was Dick Tracy in this period? I don't know. But we've been running serials almost since the show began, and you get many, many complete serials. Some more obscure than others, but if you like I Love a Mystery and Adventures by Morse, they're all there. Along with highlights of the WBAI shows over the 35-year history that I've been producing this program and hosting it. Three DVDs, 231 episodes. Although it's called Golden Age of Radio, 1 to 220. It's bigger than that, it's more than that, and it's only a $125 pledge. Any of these premiums make you a member of the station? All right, we're going to get back to Shepherd from sometime in June of 1961. We're going to pick it up pretty much where it left off, and we're going to get to the end of it. Hopefully I'll have a few more people to thank at the end of the show, but please call. Don't stop calling. We really desperately need your financial support to keep WBAI on the air. And now we return to Gene Shepherd. You're on the Golden Age of Radio on WBAI, New York.
You should be, you know. But nevertheless, you know, I'm making a prediction here. I'm going to make a prediction because it's quite obvious that we're in trouble. I mean in the world. There's no question about it. Did you read Rustin's column last night? It was a fascinating column, this morning's thing. Actually, it was last night I read it, but it was this morning's column about the Vienna conference. Well, I'm making a prediction. That there's no question about it, in my mind, that the one thing that man invariably finds himself involved in, really emotionally involved in, is somebody who's a loser. Well, I'm making a prediction that we will live to see the day when large numbers of people in the world are going to be for us purely because we're obviously losing. No, seriously, I mean it. And I think that large numbers of people are against us because we are, and for a long time, gave the illusion of winning. That's the only reason, you know? That's the only possible reason, really. You can reduce many of the international conditions that exist to a simple man-man equation. That whenever you make it, believe me, everybody says you're rotten. It's always this way. It is just, it's a rule of thumb. No matter what you do. And it just got to be this way because the majority of people don't make it. And so the only way they can accept their don't-making-itism, the only way they can accept not ever really fulfilling their lives, is by pretending that the guy who made it is really secretly an awful, rotten person. And the only reason he made it is because he is rotten, terrible, absolutely without morals. Well, the day will come when the same thing will be said about the honest peoples singing the honest folk songs next to the big plastic haystacks. I say that we are going to live to see the day. We are, really, because things happen very, very rapidly in this world. Now, how can you honestly be irritated with a crowd that will have a thing like this seriously and concern themselves with it? I get this catalog the other day, and this catalog says here, and I'll read this to you. I'm submitting this in evidence. This is going into my vast file of trivia. And I want them to, I'm hoping that it's going to be preserved so that 1,500 years from now, they will be able to find out how it was. I think it's going to be much more important to have this thing preserved than to have, say, important novels or editorials from important newspapers. Listen to this one. I think a little razzmatazz music would not hurt at this point. Just throw it on there. Don't look confused. Just throw it on. You'll find it's all razzmatazz. That's it. Just don't look confused. It's as razz as it could ever be. It's certainly Mataz. Hi. Hello, Friday people. How are you? Plant electric roses in your garden. I'm reading from the catalog. And it's on the level. This is a square count. Plant electric roses in your garden. Exquisite, long-stemmed American Beauty roses to add enchantment to indoor or outdoor decorating. Plant them with their removable 13-inch metal stems. Hang them for an exquisite vine effect, or present them in a brilliant lighted bouquet. Oh, I love the idea of running down through the aisle of one of Broadway's theaters with a lighted bouquet of American Beauty electronic roses. Ah, pour vous, mon ami, pour vous. Or present them in a brilliant lighted bouquet, guaranteed to be the conversation piece of your home or garden. Five perfect roses and rich green plastic foliage, realistically molded of flexible polyethylene, long-lasting replaceable bulbs, stem from each center, 10 feet long, beautiful electronic roses for your garden. Or this one. What will they make of this one? Never be smile shy again. Exciting new enamel cosmetic applies a radiant white luster to your teeth. Merely paint it on. The new flame-proof plastic paint that will make your teeth pearly white. Dull, stained, yellow teeth glisten. Naturally white teeth sparkle like never before. Applies easy as nail polish. With its own brush, harmless to teeth, gums, fillings, it is flame-proof, odorless, and tasteless. Then I get this envelope, see? And this envelope has a heading on it, you know, a very official-type heading over in the upper left-hand corner, and it says, New York Free for All. And under it, in italics, it says, NYC's liveliest events. Obviously, this is an outfit that organizes fistfights. NYC's liveliest events. By George, I believe summer is a New York festival. Hold that face. Hold it there, Ed. Please, quickly, before we lose our franchise here, for crying out loud.
Here's the big to do. It's the New York Air Fire. It's the best time of year. Here's the big to do. You'll enjoy smoother riding wherever you are.
Man, they're like from in front.
Please. Oh. They're like from in front. Oh, boy. That guy sounds like a plain, ordinary elbow polisher. Well, we have with us Alba instant non-fat dry milk tonight, which I hate to interrupt your Friday with. I mean, really. I mean, I understand what Friday's about. Of course, you realize that Friday is a dangerous night for me because there is a terrible sense. I think that Friday and Saturday nights are the nights when Americans are at their sneakiest. You know, they don't know about Friday night in Paris. Are you aware of that? Friday night is just like Wednesday night in Paris. And Wednesday night in Paris isn't the way you think it is. Gene Kelly doesn't go down the middle of the street there with the rain, with Audrey Hepburn. I mean, it just doesn't work like that there in Paris. Did you read about that crowd in the Breton Peninsula? A group of farmers all appeared at 6 o'clock in the morning. They were teed off because the price of potatoes was too low. 15,000 farmers captured a town with pitchforks. I mean, they weren't going to stand for low prices. They did, and everybody was asleep. Did you read about it in the Times? It was a great story. So don't think soreheadism is actually an American product. It isn't. And provincialism either, because the reason that the Breton farmers got teed off was the fact that potatoes were selling for such a low price that if they put them on the train and sent them to Paris, they got less than if they had taken them and just, you know, stirred them around out in the field and played badminton with them and threw them at each other and had potato fights out in the streets, you know, and had fun with the potatoes there and popped potatoes at night and baked them and roasted them and made potato popovers, you know, and the whole business. And so they got very angry. And there was a very sinister line. Sinister in a way, but it was also very funny. It is said in the Breton Peninsula that the farmers are so organized that they could raise within less than 1 hour an army of pitchfork-wielding silent rustics. Oh, boy. I don't know whether you've ever seen a silent rustic with a pitchfork, but let me tell you, I'd rather go against all of Castro's crew than one of these. They know no arguments. And so what happened was that at 6 o'clock in the morning, these rustics came to the town. They rode in town on ox carts. Ox carts, bicycles, motor scooters, some old automobiles. Some of them walked. Others took pogo sticks in. Some of them rode on their wives' backs. They all came into town at 6 o'clock in the morning while the whole town is asleep, 15,000 people on the Breton Peninsula, all quietly snoozing away there, living away the centuries. This is one of those colorful little towns. The people are always writing back about how wonderful they are, except they're bored right up to their ears when they're there. It's wonderful to write about and talk about when you get home, but you can hardly stand breaking out with a rash constantly when you're there. Because, oh boy, do they smell. And other things. But anyway, the 15,000 farmers arrived. They do. I'm sorry. I've been there. The 15,000... I wish I hadn't. I mean, actually, it would be wonderful to believe what Holliday says about it. But the 15,000 farmers arrived. Why doesn't Holliday do a piece on, say, Zinsmeister, Ohio? I mean, as a piece of a wonderful native peasant village, which is in within easy reach of all of you. And you could go and snap pictures of the natives there. And believe me, they wheel pitchforks there, too. And they spit tobacco, and they have native dishes, and they have native language and everything. Have you ever been in Zinsmeister, Ohio? Have you ever been in Washington Courthouse, Ohio? Yellow Spring? I can tell you about Ohio. Well, anyway, the farmers arrived, you see, at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they blockaded all the streets. They really did. They set up blockades. They took over the city. And the people woke up, and there were guys parading back and forth out on the streets in front of their houses with pitchforks, teed off about the potatoes. Well, they sent an official down there who argued with them. And the official argued for about 3 or 4 hours, and all the farmers said was, okay, we'll see. They took their pitchforks out of town, and now they're waiting. They're watching the potato market. Now, wouldn't it be magnificent if all the guys who have lost all the money on all the stock market deals in the past 6 months here in New York all got together with pitchforks one night and at 3 o'clock in the morning took over Manhattan and stood around on the street corners with machetes, blockaded Park Avenue. You see, we think this is a wild concept, but it happened in this town in France. And, you know, these are civilized people, comparatively. I mean, let's face it. I mean, comparatively. How civilized do you think they are on Wall Street? How civilized do you think they are up on Fordham Road or on 49th Street over here? I mean, if you think you're civilized, you ought to walk on 49th Street, say, between 6th and 7th at 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, everyone walks out in the middle of the street, you know, and everyone has his hands over. It's funny. You remember those wonderful pictures of Gary Cooper about to draw, you know, walks down. That's all right. Don't worry. Gary Cooper with his elbows sticking out there, you know. Well, that's the way you feel like walking down the middle of 49th Street at 2 o'clock in the morning. Civilization doesn't matter. I wouldn't be surprised to see the pitchforks out here all along one morning, really. Well, while we still have it to do, I would suggest you lay in a stock of Ballantine Ale. Which fights back. I cannot recommend anything more tasty at this hour of the morning than a great big fat hamburger with a slice about a quarter inch thick of Bermuda onion and a steaming cold canister of Ballantine Ale. I want you to listen. This is not for kids. And I am not saying it to kids. And by the way, kids have a kid has nothing to do with age. There are plenty of elderly kids out there. So you stay away from Ballantine Ale. I'm fooling around with you. We also have, speaking of hamburgers, Prexies. Prexies. And if you want to know where to get that hamburger, I would suggest Prexies highly. They're one of the very few places in town where you can get a pan-fried hamburger, a pan-broiled hamburger, the way they do them in the Middle West and Texas. You know, there's a different kind of hamburger out here on the East Coast. Yeah, that's true. Out here on the East Coast, it's the charcoal grill type hamburger. This is practically unknown in Chicago or in places like, St. Louis, places like Houston, where they have the pan-broiled hamburger, which is a completely different type of hamburger. And if you've never had one, I would suggest you try a Prexies. They're open until 2 this morning, all up and down Lexington. And in the 60s there, you know, 57th, 58th, 48th, 59th, all up and down. There's about five of them on Lexington, right? In that all that whole string down there, over on the east side and down in the village at 8th Street on 6th Avenue, Prexy's. Right around, they have soft ice cream, the whole works, you know, till 2 o'clock in the morning. The hamburger with a college education. The college with the hamburger education. Yeah, I've been there, too. But, there are certain things you just can't fight. And I would suggest you don't try to fight. I remember one time, speaking of the spring weather like this, funny, I'm coming through Times Square about, an hour or so before the show commences. And I am not on tape, Dad. I am never. And I'm coming down through the rain, you know. I noticed one thing. All the New Yorkers panic immediately. Well, I remember a wild thing that happened to me in the steel mill. I wish I had started this earlier. Because this weather and this time of the year is when this happens. There is strange weather that comes out of Lake Michigan because the lake is cold, a very cold spring-fed body of water. And the air out over the flat country of Illinois and Indiana and Michigan is very hot, much hotter than the air is here. And so when that hot air hits that cold air and that constant wind comes whistling down from the straits, you never know what kind of weather is going to develop, particularly in the first hot days or the first cool days of fall. Those two times are wild. And I'm in the steel mill, and at that time I'm working as a mail boy, carrying a sack of mail from department to department, and I had worked. You see, the mail is a very dangerous job. Incidentally, it was impossible to get any kind of civilian insurance doing this job. The mill itself insured you. Why? Because you ran through the mill. There is a rule that there is no running anywhere in the steel mill area because of the danger of cranes and one thing and another. But the mail boy had to run to make his route. So I would be running like that. I'm running into the blast furnace, and I'm running into the open hearth. I'm running into the coke plant. I'm running into the hot strip. I'm running all day long, 8 hours a day, just running. And so you run and run and run, and the world gets to be nothing but running. You just run, 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 boom, 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 machines. And you know, you sense, you know the sounds all around you. You don't even see them anymore. Boom, boom, boom. And I came tearing out of the hot strip one day, and I'm running along the side of this building, and it's a day just like this. It's a June day, in the middle of June, roughly, maybe June 10th, 12th, 13th, 14th, something like that. And it had been hot all day, in little showers, when suddenly I heard the sound of a freight train coming. A freight train, and I knew that I wasn't near the roundhouse. I knew that I was away from the scrap yards. There shouldn't be a freight train here. And I'm running. I'm running along. Now I'm alongside the merchant mill, the 14-inch merchant mill. And I'm sorting my mail. And I'm running in a little passageway between a freight car and the side of this building. And I look up, and I see the sky is gray, but it's been gray all day long. I am paying no attention. The sky is always gray in the steel mill. I'm running. And this train is getting closer. And suddenly it hits. Boom! Oh! Oh! Whoa! 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 This train kept running past me, and the next thing I knew, I saw above me a gigantic high-tension wire. A huge high-tension pole is beginning to tilt. Back and forth it's going. Have you ever seen the high-tension wires break at 20,000 volts of really high tension? Boom! Boom! It's like gigantic lightning bolts, and I was right in the middle of a tornado. A fantastic tornado that pushed, bang, and I'm hanging on now to the side of the freight car, back and forth. It was an incredible experience. The freight car is moving back and forth like I'm standing on a teeter-totter. Back and forth, this thing is moving. Back and forth. And I see this hot engine come flying through a gigantic piece of metal. What they call a hot engine car is turning over and over and over in the air. And it went right over the top of the hot strip and into the lake. And I'm hanging on it. And the roof of the hot strip itself begins to peel off like great big leaves of metal. Boom! Boom! And I just hung. I just hung, and that old freight train went right on past me and let me be here, right here with you tonight. Fellow sufferers, good to be here.
Gene Shepherd from June of 1961. And no, Long John is not next, but we'll leave his theme up in the background. That's from the Fratelli collection, I believe. We thank him for all of his valuable recordings. And we thank a few more people who have pledged. There's still a minute to go, less than a minute. Dave Kenny is actually coming up next here at WBAI New York with Everything Old is New Again. The number to call to make a pledge is 516-620-3602. A reminder that we have a Gene Shepherd collection for $65. Two discs, 33 complete episodes. for a $65 pledge, 516-620-3602, or find it at give2wbai.org. I'm just going to quickly thank Alex of Brooklyn for making a donation. I'm going to thank Pete. Pete Leather, a longtime BAI pledger of Neptune City, New Jersey. And finally, we have Daniel, another name of a long-standing note, but Daniel does not want to be thanked. He's in Astoria, or I'll be headed any moment now. It's 9 o'clock. Thanks for your pledges this evening. Remember, next week we start at 7:30, following the closing session of the Left Forum. So tune in late next week, 7:30, for the Golden Age of Radio. I'm Max Schmid, and David Kenny follows next as you continue to call 516-620-3602. This is WBAI New York.